The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday the 20th of February 2025. We are now beginning the 17th week of January 2025, and I pray that we all can survive the longest month of the year. It was a very busy, busy weekend. I'd say congratulations to the Greek community for another successful Greek festival. I feel like they moved the date. It took me by surprise. I was unable to make it. If I had known, I'd have canceled all my other activities just to be there. But it seems like a good time was had by all. I want to say good morning to my Hannah Hasty Tynes family and remind you guys we have our January Family Association meeting taking place this Thursday, the 30th of January, 6 p.m. St. John's College Auditorium. Producer Junior Junkanoo, is this Thursday, right? Thursday the 30th. You guys, Junior Junkanoo. Thursday the 30th. Children, tell your parents this is the at least one of the nights of the year where you get to stay up, not all night because that's just madness, but late because you guys support not just your own school, but all the young people who are participating in Junior Junkanoo. I be down there at St. John's College for a couple meetings, and let me tell y'all, the energy and the effort that those young people putting into their performance is just fabulous. Fabulous, fabulous. I get a text here and say, boy, I tell you, thanks to the Greeks. The person says, I still a little mad, crack, conky, and Bahamian. The Greeks brought it here. Did they bring it here? Or did they make it here? Right? Like, did they bring some old technique with them, and then they made it for the first time here? Anyway, it don't matter, because the way you said it almost made it feel like you can't be Greek and Bahamian. But I'm here to tell you today, you could be Greek and Bahamian, all at the same time, eh? Bahamian being a nationality and Greek being an ethnicity, right? Like an ancestral lineage. You could do both. At the same time, same thing with our Chinese brothers and sisters, hey? They could be ethnically Chinese and nationally Bahamian. These things are possible. Anyway, I love it because once you're related to Hannah Hasty Tynes, your family, buddy, your family, and that's our mission, to ensure that everybody is connected to family. The text says, great show as usual. We have a huge problem being Haitian and Bahamian. We have a huge problem with reconciling with the idea, some of us, with the idea that you could be Haitian and Bahamian. This is how, or this is when we let young people lead the way. This is when we let young people lead the way because young people are showing us how to be Haitian and Bahamian, like how you could be ethnically, right, like travels from Haiti, but you are, like, politically, nationally, you are a Bahamian. It, in and of itself, is not a problem. Our inability to reconcile with it, to understand it, but more importantly, our unwillingness to stop and acknowledge that it is possible every time we look into the face of someone who is living that experience. It is possible. There's lots to talk about in the news today. We're going through the papers. As we get started, I want to remind you all in today's Nassau Guardian, we have the education section. It's a great read. Parents should always be picking up this education section. Look here. I opened it up right away. Excitement. 18 to battle for 58th Catholic school spelling title. These young people are ready. We got participants from St. Thomas More School, St. Francis and Joseph School, Xavier's Lower School, Mary Star of the Sea Catholic Academy, St. Francis de Sales Catholic School. Oh, and another group from St. Francis. Ah, this is awesome. Anyway, I'm excited about it. Y'all check out this head, the story on the front fold of the education system. Students shown passport to success. Rotary Club of Old Fort hosts career day at Adelaide Primary School. When I leave here today, I have been blessed with the opportunity to read. I go into a local school to read, and I'm taking a number of books with me. I just want to name the titles of three books in particular that I am hoping to read from and to leave at the school. So I have in my possession a few more copies of Patricia Glinton McCullis's Luska and Other Fantastic Tales. And I also have two books by Beryl Strawn, Tales of Guanahani and Mother's Tales of Back in the Days. And I love these books. The illustrator for Mother's Tales is Ernestine Roll Grant, and the illustrators for Tales of Guanahani is Willard Capron and Ernestine Grant. If you are into writing children's books, then you know the illustrations are a major part of that composition. And so here's some local talent you could turn to. All right. The headlines, three murdered in weekend shootings. The Guardian headline, woman, two men shot dead. An important headline in today's business section, Nassau Guardian. CFAL report, high debt hindering growth. I think it's a good read. We may get to it today in the Nassau Tribune business section. Government urged, bite the bullet on home crisis. Back to the Guardian, two infant dead. Let's see the story in today's Guardian. Kobe Davis, Elizabeth will stay with PLP. I find that interesting. Not the headline itself, but that the story made a headline. It's the second sort of prominent story about JoBeth Colby-Davis, the MP and politician that I've seen in the last couple of days. And I just wondered why. So we're going to get to some stories in the paper, but I see I got a caller on the line. The producer, let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there? One, like I heard you, two, there we go, you gone caller. This text isn't for me, but it's interesting nonetheless. Chester, you see what Trump did to Colombia? I don't think our PM should disagree face-to-face or even in a text or voice note against anything Trump says. Person says, yellow man ain't playing. Oh, we have a yellow man. His people, the Americans, they call him Orange Man. That's with them. Let them do that. We have a yellow man. We like him. A very interesting text, though. Text, if you guys don't know, there's been a back and forth between the United States and Colombia over the last couple of days. I think Colombia has rejected. I mean, when I say rejected, Colombia's response to the U.S., I won't even call it a threat, right? Like it's their right, their indication that they plan on increasing tariffs Columbia say, oh, okay then. You do that. Sure. Then the U.S. detainees, Colombians or people suspected to be Colombian in who were detained in the U.S. back to Colombia. And Colombia said, nope, no, no, pause. You ain't doing it right. And the U.S. said, I think, take these people or you're going to take these tariffs. And Colombia was like, no, no, pause, man. Relax, hold on. We're still drinking our tea. And then the leader of Colombia sent his jet, like his Air Force One, Air Force Uno, sent it to pick up the people. And then Colombia's like, King, man, you being really harsh? Unnecessarily? Like, we have procedures and thing in place already. We just don't understand what y'all saying. So when, Texter, when you say that our PM shouldn't disagree with Trump, not face-to-face, not in a text, not in a voice note, don't say anything against Trump. The tariffs in and of themselves are tariffs. There's a thing. It is a thing. The real test is how you respond, right? The real test is how you respond to this policy indication, right? This policy announcement. What do you do in response to it? That's what we need to be thinking about. Not about a fear, not building up a hesitation about speaking plainly as to our policy decisions, right? What we need to figure out is, well, what are we going to do? We don't need to cower. Ms. Green, Trump will do the same to us. I really don't want the Bahamians that will be deposited from the U.S. back here. Could we direct the flight somewhere else? Ah, boy. It is a big conversation. I'm going to pick it up again this week, I guess. See, I've been talking about it for months and months and months, nay, years. When I talked about the 2022 Summit of America, Summit of the Americas, the LA Migration Declaration, the Lily Pad Plan, the Western Hemisphere, what appears to be the Western Hemisphere duplicate of the Rwanda UK Migrant Plan. So I've been trying to talk about it for months and months and months. I've been trying to encourage the general public to begin thinking about it and composing responses to the government, like, of what would we do if, right? What would we do if? But here we are. It is no longer if and we went in now. So let's get to some stories in the news. I had this story already in notes. Today's Guardian, two infant deaths. Reported, an infant's decomposing body was discovered on New Providence on Saturday afternoon, police said. Police said they were notified of remains found off Golden Isles Road, and responding officers found the baby's body. Chief Superintendent Sharia King said police were still in the early stages of the investigation and would provide updates once more information is obtained. Quote, we're urging and pleading to the surrounding community and the Bahamian public at large, if they have any information that can assist in the investigation, to please contact any of, and we turn to page 5, their local police stations, she said. Earlier that day, it was also reported that a baby boy drowned at a home in Gambia Village. Police said the infant was found unresponsive in a bucket of water after 10 a.m. Attempts to resuscitate him were unsuccessful, and he was pronounced dead at the hospital. These two stories are too tragic to bear. We send condolences to the families and loved ones of these infants. Of these lives too young to protect themselves. But in the same voice, we do have to demand. We have to demand answers. Not that we seek to expose right? The dynamics of families. Not that we seek to embarrass or shame people, but to be prioritized over people's feelings is to assure justice for these two lives. Who is supposed to look after those who cannot look after themselves? Who is responsible for ensuring that every obligation to a child is fulfilled? To me, it's obvious by now that we have another crisis we have to attend to. And that's a crisis of neglect and abandonment. And I say this respectfully and sensitively, but it's possible that even when we are trying our hardest, we could try harder. Even when we think we're doing all we could do, there's more that we could do. And in the interest of children, that should be the bottom line. Right? Like, in the interest of children, the bottom line is, I did all I could do today. While I'm sleeping, I can try to do some more. Because they are children and all they have to depend on is us. Again, two very, very sad and tragic stories. We try to create a space where we could hold the parents and loved ones of these children, but also so that we all understand that we must do what is necessary to ensure justice is achieved for those two young lives lost. I'm going to get into some more stories. When I saw this headline, I hoped that I would find it in the news today, and I think maybe I have. So here's what I found this weekend on the Nassau Guardian website. It was like a breaking news story. It's not even on the Nassau Guardian website. I found it on the Nassau Guardian Facebook page. Some suspects being electronically monitored have intentionally committed petty offenses they could get bail for in hopes that the court release order would not mention the previous offense, according to Minister of National Security Wayne Monroe. His comments come after it was revealed that a man accused of a triple murder remained unmonitored for months due to an oversight by prison officials. He says he will look into this issue to prevent further occurrences. That's Minister of National Security Wayne Monroe. I just want to read from that again. The minister, in this article, some suspects being electronically monitored have intentionally committed petty offenses they could get bail for in hopes that the court release order would not mention the previous offense, according to Minister of National Security Wayne Monroe. So let's go to the article in today's Tribune. Bail review after suspect in triple killing left unmonitored. National Security Minister Wayne Monroe pledged on Friday to review the country's bail monitoring protocols after it was revealed that a man accused of a triple murder remained on bail for months due to an alleged oversight. Mr. Monroe told reporters he became aware of the case on Friday morning, describing it as the latest example of people allegedly exploiting the system to avoid being monitored while on bail, full stop. It's also an example of something else, sir, that I will get to in a moment. We're going to go to page 7. He claimed the issue is not new, revealing that when he first took office, he was informed that some people on bail deliberately committed minor offenses, knowing they could be granted bail to secure release without electronic monitoring conditions. He said the problem stems from how release orders are processed. Oh, so that's where the problem stems. Okay. He said the problem stems from how release orders are processed. When someone already on bail is remanded for a new offense, the court's release order may not always address the original offenses for which they were previously bailed. To address this, he said protocols were established between the Department of Public Prosecutions, the courts, and the Bahamas Department of Corrections. However, he acknowledged that the system's effectiveness needed to be reviewed following recent concerns. He explained that if the court's role is to grant bail for a specific offense while setting terms and ensuring compliance with conditions related to other offenses the individual is not on bail for, the process should have already been addressed. He added that it would be necessary to determine if there was a failure in the protocol, identify where it occurred, and make the necessary corrections. Full stop, end of article. Quick question, Mr. Monroe, have you hired anybody yet to determine if there was a failure in the protocol, to identify where it occurred, and make the necessary corrections? Because I could fill two or the three of them right now. I could determine right now if there was a failure in the protocol. As opposed to, let me read from the Guardian Facebook page, intentionally committing petty offenses that they could get bail for in hopes that the court release order would not mention the previous offense. I'm sure that's that's not where the problem lies. Is it not at this point that we prioritize digitization in this space? Digitization, digitalization, and datification? Are we going to try that? Because what you're telling me is that somebody, I'm not even sure if it makes sense. Because you're telling me that somebody who is not in the custody of the Department of Corrections, but is on bail, is committing an offense that they could get bail for in hopes that when that new case is processed, nobody remembered the old case. And so those terms of the old case are not considered in setting the terms of the new case? What happened to, quote, the individual was known to the police? What happened to that? That's been a very effective tool in policing. The suspect was known to the police. So you tell me nobody noticed by? Nobody, when the boy was walking past, say, oh, wait, no, not that. Wait, hold on, where am I going? We're all taking him. We're all taking him to the clinic, right? Nobody said anything? This is extremely troubling, not because mistakes happen, you know, but because nobody seems to be able to clearly identify what an administrative crisis looks like. That's why. Because you know the boy is going to say, I could be honest with you, Your Honor, I didn't think they were going to let me out either. Like, I didn't think I was going to go either, but look at God. Here we are. But for them letting me go, I may not have committed another crime, you know? I'm just saying, Your Honor, is there some contributory negligence? All right. Let's get to the text line. Hey, Aaron, am I missing a part of the story? If they already have an ankle bracelet on the guy, why are they taking it off after the trial for the petty crime? Here's my question we ask is, if you are on bail and you are detained by the police, right, and they have the grounds to detain you longer than the 72 hours, and they take you up to the big house, they take you to Fox Hill, and you're wearing the monitoring bracelet, do they take the monitoring bracelet off when you're being processed at Fox Hill? Because surely, if I've been detained for 72 hours, according to the law, right, like they would detain you for 48 and then they could apply for more time, right? If I'm being detained and I miss my sign-in obligation, I can't fulfill that obligation of signing in at the appropriate time, wouldn't my ankle bracelet indicate clearly that I was in Fox Hill? Here's another text. Miss Green, a triple murder. I have an answer to that. Cane the individual 23 licks every 23 days. Let's not treat caning as trivially. You know, it's not a frivolous thing at all. Another text, my God, how can you get bail for a triple murder? How? Yeah. Maybe it's an administrative crisis we're dealing with for real. That's just a stunning, stunning story. I did not find a commensurate story. Here's an article from The Guardian Court News. Man on bail for murder charged with second murder. A man accused of murder in 2015 is facing a second murder charge a decade later. Let me repeat that first paragraph. I mean, that's a whole movie right there. A man accused of murder in 2015 is facing a second murder charge a decade later. Lotario Misick, 39, appeared before Chief Magistrate Roberto Reckley, charged with the January 13 murder of his stepson, Rashad Sweeting. The 27-year-old was killed in what police described as a targeted attack outside of a home in Big Pond. According to police, Sweeting was with Douglas Clare and Rashad Seymour when a black car pulled up and a gunman shot at them from the vehicle. Misick is also charged with the attempted murders of Clare and Seymour. Prosecutors allege that Misick committed the offenses on bail for the while on bail for the January 3, 2015 shooting death of Calderon Hall. Misick, who appeared in court on crutches, was not required to enter pleas to the charges. The matter was adjourned to April 24th for the presentation of a voluntary bill of indictment. According to Misick's lawyer, Bjorn Ferguson, his client was in a serious motorcycle accident and was still undergoing treatment. Ferguson told the magistrate that Misick has a doctor's appointment on January 29th. He also alleged that police did not seek medical care for Misick when he told them he was in pain. Inspector Dion Barr was the prosecutor. The story is just a whole bunch of sighs. I didn't know you could gather up that many sighs in one article. Wow. We're going to move to the text line. I got more stories to get to. We're going to get to them. Here's a text. I heard the Trump supporters jumping up and down last week about Trump taking decisive action in deporting immigrants and taking down the gay pride flag from embassies. And I think I get it. If you have a major pet peeve that's been running on years, a radical finally shows up to do something about it and stick it to your opponent, you'd most likely be happy too. But what we rarely do in our excitement is examine the full agenda of these radicals, because radicalism can easily spin out into tyranny. Do you know what else happened last week? We know Elon Musk gave the Nazi salute. Less reported though, Trump ordered references to the Tuskegee Airmen and female World War II pilots to be removed from military training material. For those that don't know, the Tuskegee Airmen were the first all-black air division in the U.S. Air Force. Erased from history decisively. I wonder whose pet peeve is, quote, black people, close quotes. Thank you, Texter. The Tuskegee Airmen, with the unfolding of Trump's DEI policy, which is to, I guess, remove from the face of the earth all traces of a diversity. What's the other one? Equality, DEI, inclusion policies. He wants to erase them. However, I think what has been determined is that the information about the Tuskegee Airmen in particular, and I imagine the female World War II pilots also, are being removed from the military training material, but not from military museums. Right? Not from military museums. It's still extremely troubling news. I also saw a report from CNN indicating that the Justice Department had already begun scrubbing, removing the case information for the January 6th rioters. Again, that was a CNN report. I want to say to all of those people who last week told us that we were wrong. I mean, me, it was me. Y'all were only talking to me. I'm cool with that. We were wrong that that was not a Heil Hitler. That was not a Nazi salute, but in fact, it was a Roman salute. And I come here today to say you watch two episodes of Denzel Washington playing Gladiator and you forget what the Romans were about? Is that what happened? They said the television is a devil. Shut it off, Riga, break it up. Is that what they meant? That they meant that this thing has the power to change how you think? That you could watch movie to the point that you forget who you are, that you imagine that you are the people in the movie? That you imagine that you could change location and life in that way by just placing yourself into a different character in the movie without regard for who you would have been if you were alive at that time? Let me go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there? Oh, man. Caller, hold the line for me. Just hold the line for me. We're going to get to you in a second. Dear people of African descent, dear people who have found themselves in this Western Hemisphere. Good morning, caller. Hold the line for me if you can, caller, just 2 seconds. We can't forget. We have been convinced that there's nothing to remember. We have been convinced that it's too painful to remember all of these things. But if there is a thing that we owe our ancestors, it is to acknowledge what exists in our DNA, and that's the lived experiences of those who brought us here. It was definitely a Heil Hitler. And then ask yourself, where did they get the Heil Hitler from? Just ask yourself that. Where did we get it from? Let's go to the phone line quickly. No problem coming to you right now, caller. Good morning, caller.
Caller, this is Stark and Rice along with you, Aaron.
Good morning, Bremen. How you doing?
I'm all in, thank God.
Blessings.
You know, knowing that the Bahamas or Nassau became a place of pain.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do of that situation?
I tell you what, last week I talked about the importance of not allowing the political narrative to dictate who we are, or at least not prioritizing it. Well, politicians could say what they want, but we rely on the experts in any particular field to tell us, right? To guide us in our conversations and our reckonings. I mean, these guys aren't even good politicians. I don't know if you all noticed, they lose every 5 years, right? Like, they're not even experts at that. They've just been doing it so long, you assume that they know what they're doing. In the same way, why are we relying on politicians to heal the nation? Why don't we, the people, carve out, not demand from the politicians, but carve out ourselves a space for social leaders and protect it by demanding that it remain politics free? If you are a politically exposed person, you can't be here. If you like having lunch with the people them who is politic, you can't be here. We need to preserve this space so that those who speak from this space can begin to garner the trust of the wider society outside, right? Regardless of the bounds of politics. Oh, you're a PLP, I can't listen to you. Oh, you're FN. Oh, you're a Baptist, I can't listen to you. Oh, you're a student, I can't. We need people who we can trust to be a moral barometer for the country.
For real. And what I've noticed, Aaron.
Yes, sir.
I've been all over the place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Churches, drunk and all. Yeah, what I've noticed, most people, certain authority, think their faith is not who they are. If you understand what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
They were in a form of godliness, but denying the power. They're joking, you know? And when I speak to some of them, they want to get vexed with me. They think I'm insulting them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm the one.
Yeah.
See? They're joking, man. We need somebody to take this Bahamas and run with it.
Yes.
Because the people would call themselves leading it. They are jiving.
Mm-hmm.
They are into foolishness.
Thank you,
okay?
Bremen. Thank you.
And they think we don't know of it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bremen.
Yeah, thank you for your time. You're doing a beautiful job, I must say to you.
Thank you, Bremen. Thank you very much, eh?
You're welcome.
All right. I'm going to say thank you for that, Bremen, because, boy, if you catch me on the road, you say, Bon, Aaron, I like listening to you, but sometimes he's cuss. And then I tell you, yeah. When my life flashes before my eyes, I tend to cuss. It's something that happens typically on the road. But see, because here's the thing. So y'all be playing. How you go to church so you won't have this parliamentarian church service? This church service, producer, let's prep one of the callers. This church service, y'all don't stop at stop sign. But y'all don't stop at stop sign. But you want to celebrate you celebrating yourself in church. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there?
Miss Green, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Let's pray for a blessed week this week.
Yes, sir.
You were saying something about Miss Jobet Colby Davis earlier.
Yeah, I was just wondering, like, why all of this press coverage right now?
What is it about? Because I miss it. I was talking to somebody and trying to listen to you at the same time.
Oh,
I said, let me call you back, because
I said that I'm
a woman of business.
I got you. I said that I had seen a lot of press coverage, right? But, in not just, like, social media coverage, like a media house just did a story on, like, a constituency meeting. And now I see another story in today's paper, Colby Davis, Elizabeth will stay with PLP. I was just wondering.
Will stay with PLP?
Yeah, that's what they say.
She's Colby Davis. Somewhere.
I don't know. I mean, I would like to hear what you have to say, sir.
I hope she's not going nowhere.
Tell
you
me why.
Stay with PLP, make it seem like, you know.
This is MP Colby Davis, not Cabinet Minister Colby Davis. Tell me two reasons why she need to stay, why she will stay.
I think she's doing an excellent job, you know, with energy.
No. I say not Cabinet Minister.
Okay.
MP only.
Well, the people in Elizabeth will determine if she stays or not. You know, but I think a lot of this mischief is being put up now, honestly, by the chairman of DFNM. See, he is being neglected out of Long Island. The people don't tell them they want Peter Turnquist. They don't want
him.
They want Peter Turnquist, the former deputy.
Who?
Peter, the Bunker Nita.
The boy who had the cigar and the bottle of Hennessy in his hand, like a album cover, like the hottest album cover, the hottest album FNM ever produced?
That's
fire!
That's what the Long Island people like.
But
what I'm saying is that
now
Dr. Dwayne signs that the word is out that the people heard that he was trying, the people in Elizabeth heard that he was trying to get in Long Island.
Ah.
Now he's got to come back to the people in Elizabeth because the people in Long Island don't want him. So now he has to try and do some damage to the sitting member of parliament.
Ah.
I believe a lot of this is being orchestrated by him.
Okay.
You know, but we got to wait to see the difference. But she's going to be the guest speaker at the Bamboo Town branch meeting on tomorrow night, which would be at CV Bell, which would be a good run.
I mean,
I'll have a chance to ask her some questions in person.
Listen, only...
I got to let you know. You know, I can report back to you what's happening.
I'm glad you said that, because I was going to say something to make you row me just now, but we ain't going to do that.
Go ahead.
How she could be going to talk to Bamboo and we ain't hear nothing about Elizabeth yet?
You know, we one. All of
okay.
you one family.
Okay. Yes, sir.
God
thank
bless.
You. Have a good day. Let's go to the next caller, producer. Good morning, caller.
Yes, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm okay. Just let me tell you, man, you have to worry about them PLP people. If they were the worst of the worst, the Privy Council would allow hanging.
Continue, sir. Continue.
I just want to tell you the thing that Elon Musk did, right?
Yes.
Some the historical significance.
Mm-hmm.
When the original pledge was made, mm-hmm. they used to use that, the hand signal, right? And then the Nazis adopted it. And so they went to putting the hand on the heart. So his speech was making a statement. It's a combination of two. He put his hand on his heart at the same time there. He's speaking to Donald Trump, which is for those from the old school who understood the pledge, it was part of, you know, from the heart to whatever the signal was. It was nothing for Nazi.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to understand the context for which it was done, as opposed to a one-second screenshot that people are trying to misdirect, because Hillary Clinton did the same thing and some other people did the same thing.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
And?
Huh?
So Hillary Clinton did it and?
No, I'm saying to you, it's normal amongst the older generation who have not been exclusively to the hand over the heart pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States or Constitution or whatever it is they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just saying, because people are trying to draw out as if so some Nazism coming out. And that's for the people who got a beaten, and we told them they were going to get a beaten when Trump was coming back. But let me explain something. For the Bahamas, we need to stop trying to warm ourselves by other people's fire. However, Donald Trump has started an economic fire that we have firewood, we need fire. It is already happening globally because he has renewed. In case people don't know, Donald Trump is the one who initiated the AI fight and the fight for technological supremacy. And so if you understand his initial withdrawal from the Postal Service, WTO, and WHO, you would understand this whole thing of what they call it, nationalism versus globalism.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we need to do is we need to look at the fact of being the most digitally prepared country in the world. How is it that we could utilize this fight for what is called global, technological, digital, data, and quantum supremacy? And mm-hmm. so we need to find out the world economy is going to change. And people have heard me for over 6-7 years said, prepare for 2025. Because with or without Trump, there was going to be a shift. The problem is that Trump itself has now become an accelerant to that shift.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we need to do is we need to find out, okay, we need innovation and begin to look, how do we fit into this with all of the 30 different economic models they put out there? That's all possible in the Bahamas. Can we just put 1,000 of each behemoth in each of those economic models that we say, and we can have a better Bahamas? Because, again, what the Prime Minister said about knocking down the walls that no longer exist, about going for global, what's he saying? Can I get some food stuff? And this new app. Just let me just end saying this. The food stuff, right? There's something called economies of scale. A guy in America buys 1 million pounds of chicken. And let's say they say to him, your chicken is now $1 a pound. And so when you go to that same guy and you say to him, I want to buy 50 pounds or 50,000 pounds, he say to you, sorry, that's $5 because you're not buying a million. So that means the guy in America who has been selling you the chicken for $4 because he buys 1 million at a time, and you going directly to them, you have to pay $5. This is what is called economy of scale. So we need to not buy into rhetoric and actually have a strategy for growing the economy, the personal economy of individuals, greater than the level of inflation. Thank you so much.
Thank you, C. Allen. I just need you to know I still stuck on the Roman salute thing.
No,
so it turns out they all been doing it right under our nose.
I understand you, but
as if we didn't know.
Right, it isn't some totalitarianism or some change that Donald Trump is going to do. The one thing
it already been there.
No, as I'm saying, he already did it. The American Constitution is strong, and they are not going to allow 200-plus years to go away. I don't care of any personal desire of a man or a group.
But like you suggested, it's not a matter, and I get another caller, I got to go, okay. C.L.N. It's not a matter of Trump coming in and changing what existed for 200 years. Trump has just come in and exposed what has existed. Let's go to the next caller quickly. I get it. Hi, good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, my lady. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, yes. Good show as normal, Aaron.
Thank you.
I want to say something. When it relates to the PLP and the FNM walking around, right?
Mm-hmm.
Aaron, when is the PLP and the FNM going to realize that the Bahamian people don't want either one of... Because of the, for 51 years, we was hearing the rhetoric from the PLP and the FNM continuously, right? And all they do is praise themselves, right? Oh, we better than them, and we better than them. That's all you hear. The FNM saying, hey, we better, we could do it better. And the PLP saying, we better, we could do it better. And they then had numerous opportunity to prove each other that we could do it better, but we only just get worse from both parties.
Mm.
So if that's the result and that's the reality of a nation of people, we have to really be mentally enslaved, right, to suggest that the PLP or the FNM could take this country further than where they drugged it, right? Because if these people really and truly wanted to make the Bahamas or Bahamians, the best people inside this Caribbean, being a small nation, they had enormous opportunity. So I would like to, I know we're in the campaign season, so we can hear people coming around, but I can try my best to make sure that my voice is being heard, because at the end of the day, we need a new Bahamas on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
We need a Bahamas where things just work for the Bahamian people. We don't need a Bahamas where it only works for the FNM when the FNM is in power, or it only works for the PLP when the PLP is in power. That Bahamas then prove that we can't survive as regular Bahamians who are not a part of the clique.
Thank you. Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
I out of time, and one caller just sneaked right in. Oh, look at that. My producer say, sorry, caller, I don't have the time to take you. I'm going to run through these texts while the music is playing from the top of the show. What happened to the baby Aaron? Child found in a dumpster? ? Like Michael Jackson said, if you can't afford a baby, then don't have a baby. Tie your tubes or use a good condition condom or adoption. Stop the madness. Text, I appreciate what you're saying, right? Because ultimately, we are responsible for our bodies and the lives we bring into this realm through our bodies. Some of these young people have not had the same started life that many of us have had. And some of these young girls are carrying babies that they had no choice in carrying. Being impregnated by men they had no choice in being intimate with. You can't even call it intimacy. What happened to these young girls? Don't mean we ignoring the young boys. Another text. Aaron, Elon Musk followed his Nazi salute last week by giving a speech to a far-right political party rally in Germany. This Nazi territory, I ain't by nobody fire. I see what's happening in front of my eyes. Here's another text. Throw the whole Bar Association away. Casey's as head of crime and finance, and yet both sectors are dumpster fires with no visible improvements in management or efficiency, while the rest of them all sit silent while not publicly calling out or for better from their peers. I'm convinced one cannot have any honor or integrity to hold these government positions. None clearly for the past 20 years, at least. Oh boy, the last headline, I didn't get to it, but I'm thankful for the callers and what they shared today and the texters. Here's the headline. Father accused of abandoning daughter reported missing. This is posted in Saturday's Tribune. A 49-year-old father was granted bail on Friday after he was accused of putting out and abandoning his underage daughter while she was reported missing earlier this month. Full stop. We don't have time to get into the story, but you can go online and find that on the Tribune website. Somebody asked me, oh, they find the girl, hey, they ain't gonna tell us what happened to her, hey. What if it turns out that she's a victim of physical violence, psychological violence, emotional violence, financial violence, sexual violence? What then? What do we do then? You guys, have a great day. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there'll be no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361. Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Here's a price list of some of the roofing material we carry at Pinda Enterprises. 5/8 pressure treated roofing ply starting at $36.68. Gray Select Water Shield, 134/20 a rule. Felt, 15 pound, $16.50, 30 pound, $19.80. Owens, Corning Duration Shingles, and CertainTeed Landmark Shingles, $56.50 roof cement, $33.47. All sizes treated dimensional lumber. And of course, we have all nails and all screws. We have 5/8 sheetrock, $28.76, half inch sheetrock, $22.18. All prices include VAT.
Alpha Sounds Promotion presents Back to Love, an unforgettable evening of smooth R&B vibes and cherished memories. Join us at the Nassau Cruise Port on Saturday, February 15th for a spectacular all-white affair featuring live performances by soul sensations, Freddie Jackson.
Hey everybody, it's Freddie Jackson. I'm coming to Nassau, Bahamas, and we are looking forward to the night of love.
Also performing, Regina Bell. Also featuring Bahamas' very own Essence Band. Back to Love, Saturday, February 15th. It's a spectacular all-white affair at the Nassau Cruise Port. Get tickets online, BahamasEtickets.com, Plantation Bar and Grill, Big Boys Cafe, and Tropics Bar and Grill. For more info, contact 822-6863.
And I hope to see you there.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com. And the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.